You go and pick out your seed and you prepare for what kind of harvest you want. And then we talked about this weeding the garden. So as the seed has came up and everything else grows with it, I had to go around and just pull these weeds. I couldn't kill them. I bought non-GMO corn, so you can't spray it with anything. So I had to pull these weeds and protect it and get it so it would grow healthy. Nothing would be taken away from the plant itself. Well, we left earlier last this week, I guess you'd say, Monday and Tuesday, we were gone. And when I come back, the cornfield is ravished with, like, deer and coons. And it's like I was only gone 2 days. And I've done all this work. I've spent hours in there pulling weeds on my hands and knees and doing stuff to make sure the plants will grow. And then all of a sudden these deer and these coons come in and begin to destroy everything. It's kind of like our life. As the corn comes to maturity, see, they didn't want nothing to do with it when it was not really mature. See, that was the weeds that came up, tried to snuff it out. But what happened was when we took care of that, and it's growing real good, the rains have came a little bit, and now you can smell the freshness of the tassels and the freshness of the silk coming on the corn, and all of a sudden that spreads out all through the woods. And see, the enemy knows that when the season is right, he will come in and destroy you. And he comes in the night. I never see him in the daytime. I never find him out there in the daytime, but I always find him in the nighttime. If you walk out there, you'll hear him scatter. So we came home Tuesday afternoon, and I walked out there, and I just suspected that they were probably in my cornfield. And so when I walked out there, I seen that there was a lot of corn knocked down and pulled down and ate up. And so I said, okay, I'm going to put me a hot wire fence around it. And so I did. I put a hot wire fence around it. I told Owen, do not touch this fence. So I checked it, and it does work. No deer. Went out the next day, nothing has changed. Everything was the same. Go out the next day, everything's the same. Go out yesterday, and things have changed. The coons came in. See, the enemy will try to find any which way he can to come in and destroy your life. The simple things was the deer coming in, or the simple things was actually the weeds that tried to overtake your Christianity or your faith. That's what it does. The simple things, the people that you live around, the people that you converse with, your friends and your family, can snuff out your Christian faith. And you don't think that. You don't think that, but if you change who you are around them, then the Satan has already snuffed out your faith. If you only act that way while you're in church or around Christian people, you know, you talk a certain way, then you act different around other people that you work with, you act like them, Satan has snuffed out your faith. Or you're ashamed of him. You're ashamed of the gospel. So, today, I'm going to put more barriers around that fence. I'm going to put another hot wire around the bottom side where the coon can't get in. And then I will hear them yelp. Somebody said, put it into 110, plug it right into the socket. It'll fry them right where they're at. Is that cruel? Do you know how much hard work I put into planting that corn? And you know how many times I've walked out there and as soon as the ear comes on, it's like plentiful and ready to eat, they take it. They do. They take it. Or you'll go out there and they take a bite of it and they pull the shuck down. And they take one little bite of it. That's not ready, so they wait. Well, what they do is they destroy it. And see, that's what the enemy does in your life. He comes in and he destroys the things in your life and you don't even know it. It's subtle. It's subtle, and it comes in so easy. So today, the title of the message is The Power of Sin Has Been Broken. Just because the power of sin has been broken doesn't mean that we just sit back and, and not guard our life. You got me? Just because we've came into the church, or just because we've accepted Christ as our Savior, just because we got into the water and got baptized, does not mean you do not have to protect your life. The enemy will try to use constantly the same thing over and over and over that used to entice you years before. Even before you got saved, he will use those same things to come back into your life and entice you to grab a hold of sin. Just the way it is. He hasn't changed. He will not change. He is the same as he was back in the garden. He is the same as he is today. He will not change his tactics because he has no other tactics. But here's the thing. The power of sin has been broken. Me and you didn't do anything to break it. But Christ Jesus on the cross broke every power of sin in your life. You just have to receive that power. How do you receive it? You ask the Lord to come into your heart. It's not some prayer that you pray. It's not something that you have to repeat after someone. It's the Bible says if you believe that Christ died and rose again, you believe in your heart that he is the Son of God, you shall be saved. It says that anybody that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's anybody. It doesn't matter who it is. The drug addict, the sex offender, it doesn't matter who they are, the murderer. Anyone that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, but there's something that has to happen after that moment. It means that you have to be obedient in the things that you do. You have a choice because now you have power over sin. But up until that point, you didn't have any power. You had no authority. But once you have Christ and the Holy Spirit indwelling in your heart, you have power and authority over every sin and every weapon that the enemy has for you. That's amazing. If you ever watch, you guys watch TV and watch Israel and you watch this Iron Dome. Have you guys seen some of that where these other countries are shooting things into Israel and all of a sudden, poof, you see in the sky this thing's being blown up. That's the way it is in our life. We have that type of power because Christ died for us. That every sin, that every temptation that comes, we have the power before it even gets to us to blow it up. But it's a mindset, it's a choice. And a lot of times we allow those rockets to come all the way in. Well, it's not in a residential area, so just let it explode over there. No, it's killing you. You know, nowadays we have this social media that's going on and you can scroll through. Some of our children, and I would say some of you, even at your elderly age, older age, that you scroll through these reels and you scroll through these things that can entice you. And the enemy has done that for a reason. To take your interest and take your thoughts away from him. You know, I'd done everything right. When I planted this garden, I'd done everything right. Up until the time of planting, I've done everything right. But I've still lost plants. I've still lost it. You think we just want to watch it grow. You know, it'd be so easy just to plant it and watch it grow and just reap the benefit, reap the harvest. But see, God has wanted us to co-labor with him. He wants us to take authority in our life. He wants to have that authority, but he's given that, but he wants us to take that authority to walk it out. To prove to the enemy that Adam sinned, brought in death. He wanted to prove that when Jesus came in, that he brings in life, and the ones that accept him will bring life into the world. There has to be life in you when Jesus comes and reigns in your life. There will be life in you. So we'll move on. So I say all that to say this. Just because you have done everything right doesn't mean the enemy will not try to attack you even in your maturity. I want you to get that. Even in your maturity, he will still come in. I don't care who you are. He will still come in and attack you. Pastor that's been pastoring for over 50 years, 40 years, 45 years, somewhere in there, just had accusations against him, something that he'd done back in the 80s. See, here's the thing. You will reap what you sow. I don't know when that harvest is going to come in, but you will reap what you sow. And what that pastor sowed back in 82, 84, whatever it was, whatever he sowed, he is now reaping, 35 years later. 35 years later. He had to step down. But you will reap what you sow. Just remember that. You will reap what you sow. The things that you do, you will reap what you sow. See, the Bible tells us that the power of sin has been broken. But sin is still in the world. Am I right? Is sin still in the world? Absolutely. So when Paul writes to Romans, to the Roman church, they're struggling with this. They're struggling with grace. They're struggling. It's like, okay, if I sin, God has given me grace. And so Paul's writing to them, and there's like, well, if I got grace, why shouldn't I just sin more? Because I'll get more grace. Doesn't it work that way? But grace covers sin. Or does the blood of Jesus cover sin? So you're given grace. The Romans were saying, hey, man, if I'm going to get grace from God, then I just continue to keep doing what I'm doing, and God's grace is going to cover me. And Paul made a stern statement. He said, oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You cannot keep on sinning. See, we have died to sin and therefore cannot continue living in it. The power of sin was broken for the believer by the works of Jesus on the cross. Through the death and resurrection, Jesus broke off the power of sin and death over us. Yes, our physical body is going to die, absolutely. But my spiritual self is going to live forever. And also, the ones that do not accept Christ are going to live forever somewhere. But it's not going to be with me. So we are no longer under the power of sin. We have been given dominion over it. We have been set free to live in the freedom of Christ that he offers. And Paul writes in verse 6, he says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. What are you a slave to? What are you actually a slave to? Think about the things that you do in your life that you're actually, it's like, you know what a slave is. A slave has to do these certain things. And I know people every day get up, first thing they do is they flip on their phone and they're a slave to it. If you're a slave to it, you need to break that mentality of being a slave to that phone. Because you know how much time that phone consumes? I mean, and you all know. If you really think about it, you all know how much time that phone can consume. You can watch our children. You watch our children grab phones, and our grandchildren, they grab your phone. Owen will try to grab my phone out of my pocket because he's like, he must not get it when he's with his mom. So he wants to grab mine, and then he'll spend hours if you let him. Head down, just constantly. And I see parents the same way. I see people the same way. I go walk by the break rooms, and not even in the break room, they're out on the floor, and they're on their phones. Constantly scrolling on their phones. There's no communication between people anymore. It's these reels that they're watching. It's these things that they're doing. Constantly consuming their time. They're a slave to the phone. They're a slave to the things they're watching. See, to reach full potential of the harvest Jesus has for my life and your life, I must take authority in my life to guard against the enemy. Even in my maturity, I must use the power that has been given to me, the power over sin. Even in my maturity that I have today, I'm better today than I was 10 years ago. It's the same authority I had 10 years ago, but I am more disciplined today than I was then. I have the power over sin in my life. There's things back 10 years ago that used to catch my eye or whatever. They don't do that today. But it's because I've taken the power over changing the mindset and taking the power over the enemy that tried to destroy me before. You know, we go to our 35th reunion last night. Everybody's drinking. I had no desire. No desire. Not that it's not wrong. I choose not to because I choose not to offend anyone else. Now, Is it wrong to get drunk? Absolutely. Absolutely. So if you drink and you drink one and you catch a buzz, it's probably wrong. You're changing the altar of the mind. You're altering your mind, and you should not do that. But to have a drink, it's probably not wrong. But if I would have a drink in front of you, if I set a Budweiser can right here and I begin to drink it, would it offend you? Absolutely, it would offend you. Why is my pastor drinking a beer in the pulpit? That's a sacred place. Why is my pastor smoking a cigarette in the pulpit? You wouldn't like it because it would offend you. And so I would choose not to do that. So I choose not to do any of that to offend any of you. Even the ones I don't know, I choose not to do those things that I used to do that would be no problem for me, but I choose not to do them to offend someone else because I got to think about them and not myself. So we can cause an offense in someone else's life just by walking out our life that we have no problem for. And if I cause someone else to stumble, and then Jesus says, "If allow the little children to come to me," because the disciples said, "Oh, hey, get the kids back." But he said, allow them to come to me. If anyone harms my little children, you are his little children. The ones that are out there that are lost, or even in the church, they're out there, that's his little children. And if you cause them to stumble, woe is it to you. So we need to live our life correctly. We need to live our life right. We need to live our life out of offense, not causing offense to anyone else. See, the power isn't any good for you if you do not exercise it. It's no good if you do not exercise the power that has been given to you. If I would give Jordan a gun and say, you have all the authority in my property to go kill anything you want, but you just walk out there and never use it, it did you no good. If I said I had $2 million in the bank and I gave you authority and said, hey, you can have my checkbook and just buy what you want, and you chose not to, Tabby would be mad. But what I'm saying is we are not exercising the power that has been given to us. We are not exercising the authority that has been given to us. And we need to start exercising that authority in our own life and that we do not cause an offense in someone else's life. The power of sin has been broken. In Romans 6, 15 to 19, part of the rest of it, it says, I didn't give them scripture today, so they're probably fighting through it to get to it. So if you're turning in your Bible, it's Romans 6, 15 to 19. And I'll just give you just a second. That's it. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. You remember, Paul's talking to the Roman church. He's writing this letter to the Roman church. They're saying, I just keep on living the way I'm living. Oh, I just keep on living the way I'm living because God is going to have grace over my life. And Paul says, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slave to, you obey? Whatever you present yourself to, you will obey. Slave to. You are the one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. So you can be a slave to Christ leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness, which we all did, and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. I remember when I was a young kid, and Brian probably remembers and probably seen it in the paper, where Lance had got a DUI, or Lance was doing this, right? And then all of a sudden, what would that lead to? Another DUI. What would that lead to? Maybe a PI. What would that lead to? Causing my life to fall in shambles, but it always the same thing. What the lawless sin used to do would take you back to the lawless sin that you kept doing. It would just keep repeating itself. And you see people that have an alcoholic addiction, and they go out and get multiple DUIs, and all of a sudden their license are gone forever. What causes that? Is because what they are sin to, they obey. What they are sin to will constantly be a slave to. What are you a slave to today? See, we must do whatever it takes to live out our life pleasing to God. The enemy will use his power to try to pull you away, but we have power over him. We have power over him. We have power over every weapon he tries to deploy. Listen to that. We have power over every weapon and every scheme that he has to come up against you. You have power to knock it down. Will you choose to exercise that power to destroy the enemy's weapons? That's what we have to do. We have to change the way we think. We have to change our minds to act out the things pleasing to God. Romans 8, 1 through 6. Romans 8, 1 through 6. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation. What's that mean? What's it mean? No blame. It actually means verdict. Verdict, verdict. Like you're in court. There is no verdict against you. Therefore, there is no verdict against you. Where does a verdict come from? Court, right? When does the verdict come? When you're being prosecuted, right? When you've done something wrong, and now say I committed murder. And so there's a jury. We've already went through the court process. And now the verdict comes in, jury comes in, and they're going to present a verdict that I'm guilty or not guilty. Paul says, now therefore there is no condemnation or there is no verdict against you. Why is there no verdict against you? Because of Jesus, because of the covenant that God made for you, the new covenant. We talked about that. If you don't remember, you can go back on our Facebook page and pick that up, the blood covenant. It's, I don't know which one it was, but there's two of them. Listen to those. And you'll understand the covenant that God, that Jesus made before the foundations of the earth, that he was going to come in and make a covenant with the Father, that you had to do absolutely nothing, and the enemy has nothing against you. Jesus stood in your place and did what he needed to do so there would be no verdict against you. Because it says Satan goes up and tries to be the accuser of the brethren. He tries to accuse you and me and everyone else. Hey, looky what Marcel did. Do you know what Marcel did? And Jesus stands up and stands in your place and says, hold on. She carries my blood. She's under the covenant of me. She carries my blood. You have no accusation against her. You have no verdict against her. That's what he's saying. Therefore, there is no condemnation or verdict to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What do you have to do? You have to walk according to the Spirit and not of the flesh. Not of the things that you lust and desire, but of the things that God has placed in your heart that you desire. You should desire the good things of God. It doesn't mean that you can't have fun. It doesn't mean that you can't be enjoyable around people, that you have to be all subdued and walk like some of the people that think they're better than everyone else. I can be myself is what it means. I can be myself, but I can also laugh and carry on. Just like I was around all kinds of different people this weekend. I loved them for who they were, but I did not change who I was. And the enemy would love to try to accuse me of things. But Jesus stands in my place and advocates for me. He's my advocator. Not to say that I ain't going to make mistakes, because I make mistakes each and every day. And I know you guys do too. But it is, the thing is that I recognize those mistakes and I make sure I don't do them again. But then again, I might do it again. I might go off the handle. I might get mad at Tabby. There's days I might not like her. There's days that she might not like me. I'm picking on her. She's my wife. She's my partner. But you all know that. You all know that are married. There's days that you just don't like your husband. There's days that you don't like. But here's the thing. You have a covenant. And it doesn't matter, because you have a covenant that you made with her. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. until death do us part, I will keep you. You made these commitments. It's a covenant. It's the same covenant that God made with the Father, that Jesus made with the Father. I will not leave them. I will be there for them. They are mine until death. Amen? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin of death. For what the law did not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of the sinful flesh. He took our place on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Listen to that. You know, when I was doing those things, and I know you remember when I was a kid, and we was at the taverns. And we were living our life, and we thought we were having fun. And I was, you didn't think about driving, you didn't think about doing stuff and the wrecks that we had. But when I was carnally minded, I produced carnally things. But now that I'm, and I was never at peace. And I see people, I remember smoking marijuana. I mean, I did it. I remember. But when you did it, you were like, paranoid. Somebody might see me. How fast am I driving? Right? Will somebody know? Never at peace. Even though you was high, you was never at peace. You ever worry about that? Any of you kids? But there's no peace. But now that I am spiritually minded, I have peace. There's nothing I worry about. I don't worry about my wife going out and messing around. I don't worry about none of that stuff because I trust her. I trust in the Lord. The things that I do, I have peace in my life. Doesn't mean the enemy doesn't try to throw things in my life to cause me to be disrupted. But I take authority over those things and say, no, it can't happen that way. So as we close today, I told you I was going to be a little short. But what I'm saying today is powerful, that if you do not exercise the authority that you have, you do not exercise the power that you carry, what good is it? What good is Christ? What good is your salvation? If you're going to live carnally minded and you're going to live carnally minded and spiritually minded at the same time, the two don't mix. The two don't mix, and you see that every day. I see people that proclaim the gospel. They proclaim the goodness of God. They fall on their face before God, and they live their life totally different. But when they need him, they come into a place of like, oh, I need you, God, and they fall on their face, and it says, I sought the Lord, and he answered. Right? We heard the song, I sought the Lord, and he answered. And sometimes, I know my mom's prayed for me for years, and she sought the Lord. Over many days, many nights of crying, many, many times for the whole family. And all of a sudden, God begins to answer those prayers. God begins to do things. She didn't know I was going to stand in the pulpit. She didn't know I was going to do this. But what she did was she sought the Lord for my life. That God, you use him the way I dedicated him to you. And that's what she's prayed for all of our family. That's what you've prayed for your family. That our children will succeed in life. To be carnally minded, you might have people succeed, but the eternal life of them is going to die. And they're going to go to a place that they're not want to go. I'm not going to say fire and brimstone. I'm going to tell you what, it's a place without the presence of God, and we don't know that. None of us here know a place without the presence of God. None of us know that because God's presence is here. It's in your home, even if you're not living it. His presence is everywhere. You just have never lived without his presence. And when you do, if you ever do, you will be so distraught. And it's not just for one day, but it's for an eternity. You got one shot at it. You got one life to live. But eternity is eternity times eternity. Forever and ever. Use the power and authority that's been given to you to fight against the enemy, because you have power over him. So if you're struggling this morning about being a slave to sin, struggling about being a slave to something, pick up your head. Lift up your eyes. Carry yourself well. Do not be defeated, because you have power over the enemy. You have power and authority over the enemy. If you're a believer in him. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of power and of love and of a sound mind. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. See, the thing is we're supposed to love too. Even the people that come up against us, we're supposed to love. Compassion for them. Love them. You need to get ready, Jordan. Margaret, you need to get ready. If you would, you guys get your baptismal clothes on. If you need some, we have some. Anybody want to be baptized today? The water's like 95 to 100 degrees. I told Jordan it was going to be zero. Are you guys okay this morning? See, the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal things in your life that you are slave to. He's already done that this morning. I don't have to speak them. I don't have to say them. You already know them in your heart. See, that's the Holy Spirit working in our life. There's a word in the Hebrew text, and we learned this week. It's called kavanah. K-A-V-A-N-A-H. Kavanah. It means to intentionally, deliberately know the presence of the Lord. So kavanah, when they did things, they were intentionally, so the Jewish people, when they did these rituals or they did these feasts, they intentionally did them with their understanding that the presence of the Lord, intentionally. Kavanah. When we're walking out our life in kavanah, intentionally knowing the presence of God, intentionally knowing that. In what we do and what we're saying and how we act, it doesn't become a ritual in our life. See, God did not want the Jewish people to do these seven feasts of the Lord, these times of meeting, these times that we know that's a prophetic thing. He did not want them to do them out of ritual. You know, this, I got to walk 10 feet. I got to do this. I got to wash my hands so many times. He did not want them to do it as a ritual. He wanted them to do it as an intentionality of knowing him. It's an intent, deliberately saying, oh God. Deliberately saying, I understand you. I know you intentionally. Sonny has preached a message about, and we talked about it a few weeks ago or last week, or probably it was this week we talked about it, that Bill Johnson would put a handkerchief on his shoulder, reminding him of the Holy Spirit's presence. But we need to understand it's kavanah, that we intentionally know the presence of the Lord in all our life, in all avenues of our life, in everything that we do. We intentionally know the presence of the Lord. If you intentionally knew, if you knew that Jesus or the Father or the Holy Spirit was standing beside you in everything that you do, how would you act? What I do know is, if I tell people that I'm a pastor, they automatically change the way they speak. If you tell them that you're a Christian, they automatically change the way they act. Why is that? It's fear, it's honor, it's respect. But here's the thing. Some of them are Christian people that I hang around with, and And all of a sudden you see and hear, and they don't even know I'm a pastor. They said, yeah, I've been a pastor for 7 years. Everything changes. It's weird. Kavanah. Intentionally listen to the Lord. Intentionally understand of his presence. Today is going to be a day that demonstrates the goodness of God. Jordan's going to get baptized because he hasn't been baptized yet. I didn't know that. He didn't get baptized when my son got baptized many years ago. Margaret's going to get baptized. We're going to do Margaret first. So come up here, Margaret. You take your stuff out. Okay. Could you take the top off, get the steps set up for me? And get that white thing out, please. Come on up here. So, Margaret, have you ever been baptized?
Yes, I have. When I left the Catholic Church.
When you left the Catholic Church. You got baptized about a month or two ago, didn't you?
Pardon me?
You got baptized in the water a few months ago, too. So why do you want to get in the water today?
Because, as you know, 2 weeks ago I had a stroke. And praise God, I have no effects. So this is the way I want to commit my life to him more so and thank him, because where would I be without him?
Right.
You know, and all the time I was in the hospital, I just kept praying and knowing that my God is with me. You know, he never leaves you and he never forsakes you. And he got me through it. Why? I don't know. I guess because he loves me and he has a plan for me. I don't know.
Amen. Well, let's go get in the water. Would you give Tabitha your stuff? Want to help me, Sonny? You know, God is doing some things in the water, and he's been doing them all over the nation. It started in Dawsonville, Georgia. Dawsonville, Georgia at Christ Fellowship Church. Oops. I know that. But he's been doing a thing in Dawsonville, Georgia for the last 6 years. People are getting in the water and their bodies are being totally healed. Come on up. Margaret's already been baptized into her faith. She's already died. There's two steps.
The next one.
Step in first? Okay, if you want to do that. There you go. There's two steps here also. One, short one. Yep. And one more. Okay, very good. Very good. She's already been baptized into her faith. This is a renewing. We should die daily in our lives. She's saying, God, I know you've pulled me through many times. And she called us today because she went into the hospital Sunday after church. And she said, she called us Tuesday and says, I want to get baptized. So we're going to baptize you this morning. And I just want the Holy Spirit to do all kinds of stuff this morning. I want you to scoot this way just a little bit. Up, there you go. Father, I just begin to pray over Margaret, Father. Father, she goes into the water, Father. Meet her there. Every ailment in her body, everything in her mind, clear. Father, I pray that you continue to use her. But Father, her purpose, her desire that you have placed in her heart, Father, fulfill those things. Bless her, Lord. Pour out your spirit upon her. And I baptize you in the name of Jesus this morning. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You feel the Lord?
I'm okay. Okay. He's here with me.
He
right
is
now.
With you. I guarantee it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay.
You good? All right. Amen. That's just the power of the Lord right there. And nobody's doing anything except Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
right?
Holy Spirit.
Just step up once. Just take up both feet up there.
Let me grab a hold here.
Oops, you're going to do that. Okay.
Kind of hard for an old woman. Thank you.
God is good, you know? All the time. All the time. Father, I just open those ears up this morning, Father. Open those ears up this morning, God. I just pray continually open up every water that had touched those ears, Father, open them up in Jesus' mighty name. You don't need to hear because you're going to start hearing. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, just open them up. Open them up, God. Open them up, Jesus. Every ear. Open it up. Open them up right now, Father. Every eardrum open. Every passageway to hear open in Jesus' name. Both ears in Jesus' mighty name. Both ears in Jesus' mighty name. Father, just open them up right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father, open them up right now. Open them up right now in Jesus' mighty name, Father. Healing right now in Jesus' mighty name. Touch her right now, God. Touch her right now, Lord. Can you hear? Continue to pray. Continue to have faith.
Amen.
They'd be open. Amen. Amen. Jordan, you want to come up here? So how come you want to get in the water this morning?
It's time. Ever, you know, 35. Been coming to this church for 17 years. So... moved, had a baby. It's just time.
Amen. Jordan, I've known him as a little boy. Into everything. Jordan rolled around on this floor when we were putting this little church together in 2005. I remember him rolling around on one of them seat dolly something. He's shooting the floor down. In here working for the church and for the Lord. Blessing to see the children working. He's a young boy. But he loved to have those tools in his hands. God has blessed him with many things. And the knowledge and his heart is so good. And I'm excited to baptize you today. Because you're like my son. So let's get in the water. Jordan's been a believer in Christ for a long time. You know, now's the time to be baptized. Now, don't wait, but get it done, you know? By your confession of faith, Jordan, I'm going to baptize you today. That everything from your past, see, it's already happened on the inside of your heart. It's already happened on the inside of you years ago. God has been perfecting you. And sanctifying you, and you've been growing in Him. And what this represents is what's happened on the inside of you, that you're actually going into the water and you're dying. You're saying, I'm not going to be the same as I ever was before. I'm different. He's going to be different, Emily. Not because he got in the water, it's because of what he's been doing. Father, I just want to pray over Jordan right now. Father, I just begin to bless him, Father. That your fullness of your giftings that's in him, Father, just begin to be displayed. The fullness of the giftings, God, that you have placed in his heart, God. The desires that you have placed in his heart, Father. That you just begin to display them openly in front of the enemy, but openly in front of everyone, God. Let him be so excited.